Hello, listeners. Welcome to Waves and Wonders, a podcast by the Central Coast State Parks Association, an environmental nonprofit in San Luis Obispo County, California. Waves and Wonders focuses on natural and cultural topics as they relate to the Central Coast. I'm James.
And I'm Gabby.
We are two Cal Poly students that love to explore the natural beauty in our own backyard. Our second episode is about the Pismo Beach clams with our guest, Marissa Bills. Why don't we start the episode off by learning a little bit about you, Marissa?
Yeah, absolutely. So hello, I'm Marissa Bills. I'm a graduate student at Cal Poly in the Biological Sciences Department, working with my advisor, Dr. Ben Ruttenberg.
Cool. I love the Ruttenberg lab. It's really cool. So I was a former employee at the state parks in Oceano, and I learned there that the decline started in the 1980s, 1990s. We were curious as to why this happened and if it was the foot traffic on the beach or overfishing of the clams.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a question that we would all love the answer to. So most likely it was kind of a combination of factors. So that was around the time where the recreational fishery was really large. And then there was definitely a lot of overharvest or a lot of harvest, potentially overharvest happening. In the 1980s was about the time that the sea otters started coming back to the Central Coast, one of the Pismo clams, like major predators. And then also a lot of different environmental changes were kind of going on during that period of time. So it was most likely a combination of kind of a lot of harvest, the return of certain predators, and then potentially different changes happening in the environment. So there's no clear answer. It was probably a perfect storm of those handful of different things, or potentially something we're unaware of as well. Right. But what we do know for sure is that their populations did decline quite dramatically in the 80s. The last legal size Pismo clam was seen on Pismo Beach in 1993. And then there was a good period of time there where we just really weren't seeing Pismo clams on Pismo Beach.
Interesting. So what sort of efforts have been taken by both Cal Poly and other entities to rebuild and repopulate the species?
Yeah, definitely. So Pismo clams are a recreational fishery species. So there was a really brief commercial fishery for them in like the early 1900s, but they're primarily a recreational species. So they're managed by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And as kind of with any government entity, there's a lot of things for them to manage and not as much time and resources as they would like. So a lot of times, smaller recreational fisheries don't get a lot of attention. So when the clams kind of disappeared, it was sort of like, that's unfortunate, but they had a little bit too much on their plate, or there wasn't really a clear thing that anybody could do about it. So not really much was done about kind of their disappearance in the 80s. The fishery just kind of, it's still technically like legal throughout the state to look for Pismo clams, following the regulations, of course. But it kind of just sort of went underground and wasn't as popular, kind of talked about. But then in about 2015, the city of Pismo Beach came to Cal Poly and they were really interested in seeing if faculty at Cal Poly could potentially recover or restore the clams to Pismo Beach. And so Dr. Ruttenberg was one of the faculty that got involved in that and said, that's a really interesting question, but before we just start growing clams and trying to restore them or put them back on the beach, we really need to understand like what happened to them and kind of what their current status is so that we could best move forward to help them recover. So the Ruttenberg lab started monitoring Pismo clams on Pismo Beach in about 2015. And that really nicely coincided with when we started to actually see small Pismo clams show back up on the beach. So Dr. Ruttenberg likes to joke that they started coming back because we started paying attention or looking for them, but that's probably not the case. But we did start seeing them show back up in 2015. Again, we're not really sure why, but that's been really exciting for us to kind of get to monitor them we go out at least quarterly, mostly monthly at this point, to monitor them and do surveys to kind of see how the population is doing on Pismo Beach. So I guess to long-winded answer, to more concisely answer your question, not much really happened in response to their decline, but we are starting to see them come back, which is really exciting. So part of this long-term monitoring is to kind of understand how they're doing currently and try to understand trends in their population dynamics. And we work really closely with the management agencies so we can kind of give them this information as well to potentially update the management practices for the species or confirm that the current regulations are adequate to protect them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. I was wondering, do you think that the use of the Pismo dunes for recreational activities and as well as like the beach and such, like, do you think that has affected the rehabilitation of the species?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I'm honestly not too sure. One thing that we have started seeing in the last couple of years is now that there are many more clams on the beaches, we do occasionally see them come to the surface and sit on the surface. So they typically live in like the top foot of sand on the beach. So they live under the sand most of the time, but we have started seeing this unique pattern of they come to the surface and just sit on top of the sand for maybe an hour or so at a time and then go back under the sand. So when they're on top of the sand, obviously trucks driving over them is a huge problem for them. But when they're under the sand, we're not really sure if it's causing them harm or not. So I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like the clams are starting to do some interesting things by being on top of the sand, which is not normal. And then, you know, when animals change their behavior, then there's more room for human conflict. So we're not really sure what impact just the general foot traffic or driving on the beach has, but certainly when they're on top of the surface, it is very easy to crush them by driving over them.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense.
So beforehand, you mentioned that you go out quarterly to survey the clams that are on the beach. What is done during these surveying time slots for students? And have you seen that these surveys have proved impactful or not?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now we actually are surveying monthly. So there's three different sites along Pismo Beach where we'll go out and we'll do these clam surveys. So basically what that means is that we start kind of at the top of the, like, around where the sand goes from being dry to being wet, and we'll dig trenches or transects from like the top of the beach as deep into the intertidal as we can get based upon the tide. So we kind of break that like long trench up into 3 meter sections. And then all of the clams that we find in those 3 meter sections, we'll get measurements for. And then at the end of our survey, all of the clams get reburied back on the beach and kind of left there. So this kind of long-term monitoring lets us see how the overall abundance of clams is doing, how their population numbers are doing over time. And then also the size tells us how old they are. So we're kind of able to infer like if we're seeing really old clams or we're seeing like young clams. So we know kind of what's going on with the overall population of clams. So it's a really great opportunity to get students out and get them experience for potentially the first time of what marine science looks like or what research looks like. It is a lot of just manual labor, but it's a really fun time if that's sort of your cup of tea. So it's just digging and sieving and measuring clams. It's definitely labor intensive. So it's really fun to have a really big group of students out, and then everybody gets to kind of try all the different parts of the survey. Some of like the digging, some of the measuring, and just kind of get exposure to what some marine science like research protocols look like. And then it's also just a cool opportunity for students to meet each other and make definitely new friends within their major or even outside of their major.
Can students partake in the surveys if they're not marine science students, or is it specified to marine science kids?
No, they absolutely can. So I will typically send out emails to the biological sciences department, marine science major, and then also the natural resources students. But anybody is totally welcome to participate. And if you have ideas of other places I could advertise to students, we're absolutely welcoming anybody who's interested.
Cool. So next, simple question, or not simple. why is this species of clam only found on the Central Coast or specified in Pismo Beach?
Yeah, so they are found throughout the state. Their full range, they can be found anywhere from like Monterey Bay all the way down through Baja California.
Okay.
But they have historically been in California most abundant on Pismo Beach. That's likely just because Pismo Beach is kind of their perfect habitat. It's a really long and wide and flat sandy beach that kind of meets all of their criteria. So for a lot of like, I guess, different sand critters, or every animal has like an environment that they would like to live in. And for Pismo clams, the kind of formation of Pismo Beach is exactly what they're looking for. So yeah, I guess kind of just because of the environment of Pismo Beach, it's just a good spot for them. So that's where they've historically been most abundant in California, but you can find them throughout the state on other kind of comparable beaches to Pismo.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So pretty loaded question, but how would you predict that climate change will affect this population? Do you predict them moving elsewhere, or how do you think they will adapt to the rapidly changing environment?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's definitely lots of different effects of climate change that are going to impact them for sure. So ocean acidification is definitely probably going to be one of the larger challenges they face. So when their reproductive cycle, when they're juvenile clams, they're actually planktonic larvae. And they have to build that calcium-based shell. And with ocean acidification, it's becoming much, much harder for other bivalves and other shelled organisms to actually pull that calcium carbonate out of the, you know what, I don't know the chemistry of that well enough. So like, I'm going to rephrase that question in case I'm wrong, if that's okay.
Of course.
okay. But with ocean acidification, it's becoming a lot harder for marine organisms with shells to actually build those shells. So ocean acidification is certainly going to be a challenge. We're not sure exactly what that's going to look like for this particular species, but there's research that's gone on with other bivalves that show that it is definitely going to be a challenge for them. Sea level rise is definitely something else that we think about with climate change that's going to impact our beaches a lot. At this point, we're not sure what that's going to mean for Pismo clams. Maybe they're going to be totally fine. They're just going to be underwater more of their life, or maybe they will move or something in response to that. So I think it will definitely be very interesting. A lot of changes coming for the sandy beach environments with climate change. And so kind of the cool thing about long-term monitoring is that we'll have this data that we can start asking those questions down the line.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I worked at state parks, we had to check if they were harvesting for clams, if they had the little measuring tool that mm-hmm. goes along with that. How serious of a threat is the illegal harvesting of the clams? And how do people know if they are illegal harvesting, or can they just take them in and run, essentially?
Yeah, that's a great question. So kind of as we've started to see clams returning to the beach, poaching or the illegal take of them has become a much bigger issue. So we're not actually sure how large the population of Pismo clams is on Pismo Beach. So it's hard to say for sure what impact poaching is having, but we do know that poaching is becoming a bigger and bigger thing every single year. So to take Pismo clams legally, you have to have a fishing license. They have to be over 4.5 inches in diameter. Then you have to measure that with a fixed gauge so that you know for sure that that is the size of them. And you can only take 10 per day, and you have to be fishing during daylight hours. So if you're following those regulations, then it is possible to go fishing for them. But lots of folks may just not know about those regulations because they have been absent on our beaches for so long, and it's kind of a new thing that they are here. Lots of people may be seeing the undersized clams and thinking, oh, there's clams, I can take them, not a big deal. Especially because pismos are such a large species of clam, like the 4.5 size limit is a very large clam. So a lot of these like 2-year-old clams that we have on the beach right now are about the size of something you might buy at a grocery store. So it's completely reasonable that people see them and they think it's a great food source, but there are all these regulations for them that we do need to be following. So the regulations and the size limit for pismos is really important because they, as they get larger, their reproductive capacity is much greater. So we need these like large old clams to be out in the wild reproducing because they're the ones that are actually contributing the most to repopulating the beaches. So as the clams get larger and older, they produce exponentially more eggs, which is kind of necessary to make all these new baby clams. So the size limit is really to kind of protect the older and larger clams so that they have at least a couple of years of high reproductive output before they're caught for fishing. Does that answer your question or did I miss
it? Definitely.
Do you think this is more of an issue of people not being properly informed on regulations, or do you think, I guess it's kind of impossible to know, we're not interviewing poachers here or interviewing a scientist, but do you think there's a bigger problem with a lack of information about proper regulations when fishing, or is it just people deliberately poaching these clams?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a little bit of both. We do work really closely with the game wardens at the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And that's kind of what they say as well, is that there is absolutely some very deliberate poaching happening, but then there's also a lot of folks who just don't know. I like to be optimistic and think that with more information and more education, people would be more willing to leave the clams alone. But there's definitely people who are just going to flaunt the laws regardless. So there's definitely both happening. I feel like more education can't hurt, but there are definitely, I know that in the past couple of years, they've had some pretty large busts of intercepting people with like hundreds and hundreds of clams. So that's pretty intentional, unfortunately.
Yeah. Very sad. Mm-hmm. So I just had a quick one. So if beach, you mentioned earlier that these clams are beginning to come up onto the surface, obviously is going to lead to some interactions with humans. So if just you're at the beach, average day at the beach, and you happen to see a pismo clam, what is the proper protocol there?
Yeah, absolutely. If you see kind of one clam out by itself, you can absolutely rebury it. So if you kind of take it down closer to the waterline, they have sort of a little button on like their hinge. So the button goes up towards the sky and then their hinge goes facing towards the ocean. So if you just kind of put them in that orientation and then just stick them down into the top couple inches of sand, they'll be really happy and they'll rebury themselves from there. We've definitely talked to some folks on the beach who have seen kind of the events where all of the clams come to the surface. So if you are walking down the beach and you see thousands of clams sitting on top of the surface, don't panic. You do not need to rebury all of those. They will figure it out themselves.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Is it known why thousands will all come to the surface at the same time?
No, we're really not sure. So it's something that we've just kind of started seeing in the last like 2 years. So it's something that along with state parks, we're working to document and try to start understanding what's going on there. So, you know, it's kind of exciting. We haven't seen this many clams on Pismo Beach in a really long time. So potentially this is part of their normal behavior, but we just don't know because we haven't seen this many clams in a really long time. So, or maybe they're doing something new and strange.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Is that a behavior kind of specific to Pismo clams, or has that, do you know if that's been seen in other species in other parts of the world?
So there are certain species of sandy beach critters, like certain, like the sand crabs or another type of clam called the bean clam. And what they will do is actually move up and down with the tide. So there's lots of other species that will kind of come to the surface and then move with the tides. So it's not unusual that things in the sandy beach are definitely like moving around. There's also some thought that maybe it could be related to phytoplankton blooms. So potentially with certain species of like phytoplankton, if they're blooming, maybe that's causing all of the clams to kind of come up to the surface to kind of escape maybe the hypoxic conditions in the sand or some things like that. So we have a couple of hypotheses that we're kind of starting to work on, but still at this point, not sure. But it doesn't seem to be killing them as long as we don't drive over them when they're all at the surface. Just something new and interesting that they're doing that we're monitoring.
Is there prior documentation for when they had surfaced before you guys had kind of taken a hold of everything? Or is it just like you're starting blank space?
That's a great question. I'm not totally sure. I guess if somebody were to have that documentation, it would probably be the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we do work with them, but definitely because there really haven't been people monitoring this species super closely since the 80s. It's possible if that was written down somewhere that it was probably not on a computer. And so maybe it didn't get digitized. So maybe that exists someplace, but not to our knowledge right now.
Gotcha.
But it would definitely be something there. Maybe we should be reaching out to more collaborators and trying to see if anybody else knows what's going on.
So earlier you had mentioned how Cal Poly students, whether marine science or otherwise, could help get involved with the surveying, but how could just Central Coast people get involved to also help, or can they?
Yeah, that's a great question. I believe state parks, or CDFW has programs where you can volunteer to be a docent with them and kind of walk on the beaches and educate people about the regulations for clamming and things along those lines. Definitely being aware of the fishing regulations. And if you see illegal poaching, you can call CalTIP, which is a phone number that will put you in touch with the game wardens for CDFW. And you can report if people are taking large numbers of clams. Or just kind of, if again, you feel comfortable being like, hey, are you aware of these regulations if you see people clamming illegally? With our surveys, if you see us on the beach, come chat with us. We're always happy to tell you what we're doing and what's going on. But yeah, I think just being aware that the clams are here, they're coming back, they're trying to return. And if we can just all follow the fishing regulations, hopefully we're going to see more and more clams on Pismo Beach soon.
We would like to thank our guest, Marissa Bills, and all of you for listening to episode 2 of Waves and Wonders.